What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another new episode of the EG3 Show. My name is Eddie Greer III, and the EG3 Show is all about the world of NASCAR, the latest news, updates, race recaps, and what's going on in the world of NASCAR. My motto on the podcast, Eddie Greer III, host of the EG3 Show. Well, another week is in the books here tonight, and I'm here to talk about some of the things that are going on this week. Of course, going into this weekend, of course, there's the second weekend of no NASCAR racing, obviously, but a lot of things, off-season news swirling around Ford, really the common denominator this week, as a couple teams have set their lineups already for next year. But first, we're going to start off with, I mentioned last week about the Camping World Truck Series Xfinity Series Awards. Well, it happened last weekend, actually, separately at Charlotte. Of course, champions Christopher Bell, William Byron, both graduating, moving up through the divisions now. Byron, of course, moving on, well documented, to the 24 Hendrick Motorsports next season, while Christopher Bell goes on, moves up to the Xfinity Series in the 20 next year for Joe Gibbs Racing Xfinity Series program. Both of those guys were honored at Charlotte, where that's where the banquet was held for both the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series. And so, and a couple other guys were mentioned as well. Of course, let's not forget about the championship for comrades as well that were honored as well. Going down the list, Austin Cindric, Matt Crafton, and a name that's slipping, Johnny Sauter, last year's champion. There we go. And of course, in the Xfinity Series side, you have Elliott Sadler, again a bridesmaid, Justin Allgaier, and Daniel Hemric, the championship four guys in the Xfinity Series this season. So they are honored as well, and a couple of awards were handed out. Kyle Busch won a couple of awards once again. The Mobile One Driver Award went to Kyle Busch. The Kyle Busch Xfinity Series show was on full effect last weekend up there. And of course, he has been a dominant force each and every time that he's been entered into a racing Xfinity Series, of course. And of course, the engine guys were honored as well. One of the awards was the Engine Builder of the Year, which went to Doug Yates and Mark Conquist there on that side of the ball. And of course, the Rookies of the Year, of course, William Byron in the Xfinity Series, and Chase Briscoe, the most popular driver as well in the Truck Series this year as well. So Chase Briscoe getting double of the amount. And now on top of that, Ice Cream with the sprinkles on top, winning the final race for Brad Keselowski Racing in its history, went down there to capture his first victory at Homestead last month as well. So nonetheless, a good month and a half for Chase Briscoe. Of course, I mentioned Christopher Bell as well. The champ was honored. And the manufacturers as well. The Chevrolet, the top manufacturer in the Xfinity Series, and Toyota, of course, dominant, led by the champion Christopher Bell in the Truck Series. You're listening to the EG3 Show. Once again, my name is Eddie Greer III. As usual for the EG3 Show, and remember, for those of you who listened all year long, we are on jpegsports.com, kcsportsradio.com, closed its doors last month, and again, I am doing this independently here, also going into next year as well, unless something changes between now and, of course, going into next year. So, still doing it. And I've gotten, in the short time that we've put the podcast, sorry, I'm going off the racetrack, but since this short time on the podcast, since we posted on Audioboom, we've gotten quite a bit of listens here. So very appreciative of that, and I want to say a quick thank you to all those who've tuned in to listened throughout the year as we're inching ever so closely to the end of 2017 and approaching 2018. So that keeps me motivated to continue to provide content for fans that are still wanting content out here. Now, yes, it is the off season, and I'm definitely sure MRN is keeping tabs on news as well. But there's also podcasts that are taking a break or have decided not to keep going with the podcast or whatever's going on. Everyone has their situations, but hey, we are going to keep rolling along here as best we can here in the offseason. I've done off-season podcasts over the last several years, and I'm going to continue. This year will be no different, even though we might take a week off or so here or there. But glad to join us here tonight for another new episode of the EG3 Show podcast. And we move right along with the last of the awards from the Charlotte Awards Banquet from the Xfinity Cape World Truck Series. The Chip Ganassi Pit Crew was honored as well as the most for their community service. That is great. Always love to hear the off the field news, especially when it's good. Nowadays, we all hear, you know, well documented the bad things that are going on in this world. But Chip Ganassi Pit Crew was honored for their Best Community Service Award. The work that they do around the communities. Great job to hear that. Also, turn our attention now to one of the NASCAR drivers. That was A.J. Allmendinger. And yes, he made an announcement earlier this week that he is planning to roll out in the Rolex 24. See what I did there? Next month. Down in Daytona. Allmendinger has been a participant in this event for a couple of years now. Obviously, Allmendinger lone win coming at Watkins Glen a couple of seasons ago over Marcus Ambrose. Allmendinger background comes from road racing as well, if for those of you who do not know that. But yes, he's going to be participating in that once again next month. So Allmendinger, of course, TG Doherty Racing will have an opportunity to participate. Now, for the moment, I don't know which team he's going to be on, but he plans to run in the Rolex 24 here in next month. All right, so I mentioned here at the top of the podcast that a couple of teams already have set their lineups officially for next season, and that starts with Front Row Motorsports here. They obviously, Landon Castle's not coming back, but David Reagan is, and of course, David Reagan's wins, both coming with Roush Fenway Racing. Actually, check that, my bad. One of his wins came at Roush, and the other came with this organization that upset win a few years ago, the late Charge with teammate David Gilliland at the time to win at Talladega, one of the biggest wins in Front Row Motorsports history, and it's still to date the only win. Actually, check that. Chris Buescher has the other win for Front Row Motorsports with his random decision to stay out. And they made things happen there to make the playoffs last year. So that's two wins in Front Row Motorsports. Now, Reagan, with his return, obviously he's the lead driver, obviously. And there's a lot of discussion surrounding David Reagan back in the day while he was with Roush about how cool, calm, collected, different style, Christian guy talent that Reagan provides. Yes, he's been with this organization now for quite some time now. And we've used to seeing him since the existence of Front Row Motorsports, seen him in the 30s to late 20s, running around there. But sometimes, you know, obviously with his prestige in restricted plate tracks, he seems to get up there and mixes it up there with the regulars who are up front each and every week. David Reagan knows how to run up front in those type of races. But yes, he is coming back. His career stats mentioned his 2 wins, only 15 top fives and 39 top 10 finishes, coupled with only 2 poles so far in his career. But with Landon Castle out, unfortunately, now they signed Michael McDowell, who we had on the podcast this year at the beginning of the year, who was with Levine Family Racing 95, who was replaced with Casey Kane taking over that ride. Michael McDowell joins the force now for Front Row Motorsports. This is probably a good match in heaven. Both of these guys are definitely Christians from what I know, and from talking with Michael McDowell this year, great conversation with him this year. You can check that out, as I don't think it's on the Audible Boom pod, but it is on SoundCloud page, Edward 3G. Check that out with the interview with Michael McDowell. It's very, very good. So he signs on with Front Row Motorsports and will join forces with Reagan going into next year. So definitely good fit for the organization, and now candidate. But always the question going in to the year with these guys, the Front Row organization, can they up their performance level a little bit? Now, Bob Jenkins, the owner of Front Row, mentioned that they have upgraded their alliance even more with Roush Fenway Racing. So again, you would think that, especially, well, I better correct myself, back in the day when Roush Fenway Racing was good, they had all their drivers running up front. And now, you know, with kind of the revive of Roush Fenway Racing led by Stenhouse, you would think next year you would hope to see a little bit better performance from those guys. But we'll see what happens there. McDowell, obviously, his background is from Road Course Racing. He won earlier this year in the RCR Camp number 2 car. That was a great win to see all in itself. So definitely a good match, but we'll see if this performance ever kind of moves up another level instead of staying the same. You know, that is as much as you want to see these guys continue to at least make progress. You know, you always have in the back of your mind that, you know, this organization, you know, they want to continue their relationship with Roush Fenway. But running in the 30s, running in the late 20s, mid 25s, and occasionally you get to a short track where you have opportunity to actually run well, because it's so much on an equal playing field when you get to short tracks in a restricted place that you have opportunities. Those are the moments, those races right there, where you have to take complete advantage of the situation there. So Michael McDowell, new team. We'll see how that fits going into next season. Definitely intriguing move there as well, but I think a good fit for Michael McDowell. David Reagan, the lead guy, is going to have to take some more responsibility there, obviously, with the opportunity that he has trying to get another win for Front Row Motorsports. But again, great news there with Front Row Motorsports continuing their relationship with Ford and getting David Reagan back, and could not resign Landon Castle. So what's next? Get Michael McDowell from the free agent list and complete the lineup. So once again, Front Row Motorsports looking to try to move up in the NASCAR world, or they're already there with the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, but looking to improve performance with that team. And Michael McDowell Now, he qualified a little bit better than David Reagan last year, of course, with 95 teams. So, always you want to improve your organization. And can they do that with kind of their rebuilding still on the Ross Fenway side with the Ford camp? Obviously, Stuart Haas Racing is the top of the class, in my opinion, right now in the Ford camp. But this right here, the Michael McDowell signing, is a good signing. We'll see where that takes this organization in 2018. EG3 rolls on here after we take a short break here on the podcast here tonight. When I come back on the other side of the break, Stuart Haas Racing completes their lineup for next year as well. And a couple of switches with the crew chiefs. We'll break that down next. EG3 show. Rose on after this. Time out. EG3 show. Welcome back to the More Sports Podcast. I'm Eddie Greer III for the EG3 show, the latest in the world of NASCAR, Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of More Sports. We just got done talking about Front Row More Sports with David Reagan teaming up with Michael McDowell, his new teammate next year. Stuart Haas Racing's up next, which actually completed their driver lineup and crew chief lineup for next year as well. And before we get into that, also obviously at the end of the podcast, I'll have my cover three in football, picking my three, projecting my three matchups and who's going to win them here at the end of tonight's episode. And of course, going into the weekend, there are some big time matchups. It is going down to the wire in the NFL. EG3 show, you can find out on Facebook, facebook.com/EG3 show, for the latest news and updates on what's going on there. Stay tuned this week for what you just heard and some other news as well going on this weekend as well on this Friday evening. Alright, so Stuart Haas Racing, folks, made their official lineup and crew chief change yesterday as well. Stuart Haas Racing, of course, led by Kevin Harvick, the lead driver, the number one driver in that stable, obviously, coming off another championship four appearance. And obviously, he's going to be back with Ronnie Childers as his crew chief. Harvick coming off a third place in the standings, two wins, his 14 top fives, and his 23 top 10 finishes for Ford. Obviously, Ford made its debut this year with Stuart Haas Racing and had some ups and downs from here, but Harvick won at Sonoma. And then came on very strong in the playoffs and made his championship four appearance by winning Texas there on the mile and a half reconfiguration service there. Look, this combination is probably, I would put on the list, if I look at it, in the driver crew chief list, tandem, Jimmy Johnson, Chad Knaus, obviously on the top of the heap. But if there was a second tandem, it would probably be these guys. Harvick, Childers, been together, and they have strung together some strong, but there's some strong years with the organization. Obviously, Ronnie Childers, this was the guy Harvick wanted as his crew chief. Childers coming from the defunct Michael Waltrip Racing organization. And these two clicked right off the bat. And they were doing some experimenting, trying to get used to a new manufacturer of Ford this past year. And it really started to show in the playoffs. Harvick would look very good through all the races, including the final four at Homestead. Now, obviously, it came up short, but going into next year, I think now they might have a handle on things going into next year. But yes, this is the number one combo in the organization, and I'll put them right now. If you look at driver crew chiefs right now, yes, I put them right there at number two behind Johnson and Knaus. Going down to the second level, you have Clint Bowyer. I was riding high on him pretty much all year long, hoping to see him back in victory lane, but that did not happen. Obviously, Mike Bogorowicz will stick with Bowyer heading into 18, and I believe for this tandem right here, this is 2018 is going to be, I wouldn't say critical, but really important year for these guys. Because the expectations, again, are going to be the same like they were probably going into this year, at least for me. You know, Bowyer with a new team, you know, going from an organization that he won plenty of times with Michael Waltrip Racing. And then going all over to here where you revive your situation. You're obviously pumped up for the opportunity like Clint Bowyer was. And it's the type of person that Bowyer is. He definitely wants a shot at wins. You know, he's had a couple of runner-ups here this year. And at one point or another this year, he had consecutive runner-up finishes. You know, obviously had some bad luck down the stretch, you know, to ruin his playoff chances there. But an organization like Stuart Haas Racing, a championship organization like that, you have in especially when you're around champions like Kurt Busch, Tony Stewart, driver. Now he's a full-time owner now, obviously, with Stuart Haas Racing. Harvick, a champion. And you once had Danica Patrick, who didn't do much with that. And now you add still an unknown of what Eric Almirola is going to do next year with the 10 car. I'll get to him momentarily with his new crew chief. Overall, when you look at this team, yes, they found some good speed, but overall, you know, it's kind of a disappointment when you look at it. Booker Rabbit's going to be going in this third season at crew chief. You know, he has that win under his belt with Stewart from Sonoma, and this is going to be his second year with Bowyer full time. You would think you see some progress with that team, and with the way that Ford has had some speed, you would think that the 14 will be at least right there in hopes of getting in that Ford, you know, not bring out a new body next year. It'll be interesting to see. Of course, Chevrolet has upgraded to the Camaro. So, you know, a lot of questions, you know, is the performance going to continue to improve or it's going to just stay the same? And if we don't see Bowyer in victory lane or in the playoffs next year, then you're going to have to go back and retool a little bit. This is a driver that finished runner-up in the championship standings 3 or 4 years ago and knows how to wheel a race car. So, again, you know, Clint Bowyer, the type of driver that he is, the type of personality that we love in the sport, got to think more outside the box. So, this will be important for these guys next year. And, of course, official Kurt Busch is back in the 41, but Tony Gibson is not. He's moving. Of course, he mentioned early on this year, probably it was probably after the Daytona 500 win, that he would love to do something else, you know, get off the road and jump into another department of the organization. Welp, he got his wish. He's moving on to a different part of the organization where he can focus more on getting those cars right. And Kurt Busch will be teaming up with old Billy Scott, who was crew chief for Daniel Patrick for a year and a half. Of course, Patrick will be running the Daytona 500 in February and then hangs it up as she'll focus more, well, on trying to get into the Indianapolis 500 next season. But yes, Billy Scott, you know, not much, you know. Billy Scott, you know, has had a little success here and there. Now, this is probably the more question mark of the crew chiefs. Obviously, you know, John Klausmeier, excuse me, is the other one. But this is more, to me, is the bigger question. Can Scott, with the personality of Kurt Busch, you know how these Busch boys love to get pissed off, ticked off, when things ain't going right. You know, Kurt Busch seemed to be a little bit more, I guess, more a little bit more mature than Kyle does. You know, Kyle, when things don't get his way, you know, he definitely goes off the rails. And Kurt Busch, Billy Scott, definitely intriguing to see where it goes. Kurt Busch had lots of them. I thought Kurt Busch, you know, he had lots of momentum going into the playoffs, would make a deeper run than he actually did, but bad luck hurt his chances of moving further forward through the playoffs. But definitely, you know, the 41, obviously, the Daytona 500 champ this year, Kurt Busch would look to go back-to-back after all those years of trying, you know, on plate tracks to get a win. He did it on the biggest stage, the Super Bowl of all NASCAR, the Daytona 500, and he's going to be looking to repeat under Billy Scott in February. That's really the more interesting thing that going into all this situation is how will these two guys mesh going in this year. It's going to start with the biggest race of the year, and of course the new acquisition, Eric Almirola. He will be teaming up with John Klausmeier, and Klausmeier has a link to his organization, not with the 10, but the 41. Klausmeier led Kurt Busch going back to 2016 with the win at Pocono, replacing Tony Gibson. When Gibson was suspended, Klausmeier stepped in there and led Kurt Busch to that win at Pocono. He will be the new ear, he'll be the new voice for Eric Almirola on the crew chief side. Again, Almirola in the 10 car, and again, we all know from listening to the podcast and from what I know from talking about it for the last several weeks that, you know, this, you could have put somebody else in this race car, but Eric Almirola, you know, he's definitely had some good performances on plate tracks, you know, but from Richard Petty Motorsports, who has changed manufacturers now, used to be with the Ford, is going with the Chevy Camaro next year. Petty Motorsports is out of the equation. Now, Almirola is still with Ford, but with another organization, a top-tier organization. As I said in the first segment, that Stuart Haas right now is the top of the class as far as Ford goes right now. And you're in much better equipment. We'll see if Almirola can be more competitive. And back in the day, especially in the 90s and to that early 2000s, where we saw Ross Fenner Racing, most notably with all those talented drivers, had those guys up front, leading all those laps, getting wins. You know, nowadays you don't see that very often, especially with teams of four or three. You're usually going to see at least one driver off the pace, if not two. We definitely saw that this year with the Stuart Haas Racing Camp. You know, you had Harvick up front. Sometimes you had Kurt Busch up there with him. And then other times you had Bowyer. You see him in the top 10. And you had Daniel Patrick, you know, the low denominator of the three, not be up there as much. So is Eric Almirola an upgrade on paper? Yes. On the track, it remains to be seen. So, but he gets a new crew chief in John Klausmeier, and I don't know much about Klausmeier on the fact that he replaced Gibson 2 years ago for that win, so we'll definitely know more about Klausmeier here when we enter the new season going forward. So that's their lineup right there, ladies and gentlemen. Stuart Haas Racing going to next year with keeping Harvick, Childers, Bowyer, and Booger Ravitch. Kurt Busch having another new crew chief, this time with Billy Scott. And I don't know if that's a much upgrade or not. And then Eric Almirola with John Klaus Meyer. And another thing here, moving on, transitioning from that to Ganassi Racing on the Xfinity Series side, John Hunter Nemechek was in the news this week. No, not for finishing back of the pack, but on the good news, he's going to be moving up, running some races for the Xfinity Series program, most notably, of course, the 42 team next year to run some races, splitting duty with Kyle Larson. In that aspect, Kyle Larson last year won a couple of races, and then you go down the list. Tyler Reddick won a race in the playoffs, not as a playoff driver, but spoiling the party. And then you go to Alex Bowman as well, winning in that car. So now the question will raise, well, obviously, you know, Bowman has been in a couple of Xfinity Series prior to that, and Tyler Reddick was in quite a few Xfinity Series races as that before that as well. John Hunter Nemechek, this is going to be his first stint up in the new level in the Xfinity Series. Can he win at that level? He's already won in the Camping World Truck Series level. And now you're going into pretty much another upgrade, definite upgrade, in the 42, where it's known how to run up front in the top five, have the speed that you need, and go up there and compete with the regulars next year. So John Hunter Nemechek getting signed on, obviously sticking with the manufacturer Chevrolet. So that's a good gig there, for good opportunity for John Hunter to get his feet wet a little bit and possibly to jump up there to run up front with the Xfinity Series regulars. And we don't know much about who's going to, but that's another podcast for another night on the EG3 show. Eddie Greer with you here tonight. We have a few more minutes here this evening with you guys, heading into another weekend of really exciting football, which we'll get here to in a second. But John Hunter Nemechek, he will share duty with Kyle Larson next season in the 42 camp in the Xfinity Series. All right, it is time for cover three, my three biggest matchups going into the weekend, and my three predictions who's going to win. Starting with tomorrow night, AFC West tilt between the San Diego Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Yes, the Kansas City Chiefs, everyone would seem to be on the bandwagon, well, almost on the bandwagon of the Kansas City Chiefs at the beginning of the year, where they started like 5-0 or something like that. And they won last week against the Oakland Raiders, who didn't really show up to that game. But I think tomorrow night, I think with the red hot Chargers and the way they play, I think this is going to be critical for the Chargers to come out and do what they did last week. But this is a different Chargers team going in here. They beat the Cowboys in their little streak there. Phillip Rivers is playing well as well. And I'm actually going to go with the upset. I shouldn't say upset, but the road team going into Arrowhead and knocking off. Now, the Chiefs, they've lost to the Bills at home earlier this year. And you don't know what you're going to get from Alex Smith, so I know it's a night game. I know the fans get loud. A lot of stadium. Probably a lot of thing when it comes to night football, primetime football. And they lead. The fans, they're awesome. Things like that. But coming from a not Chiefs fan and seeing how the Chargers have really come on here late, especially with their first year head coach, think they got something to prove going here against the Chiefs. Obviously, the first time they met, the Chiefs beat the Chargers pretty handily on the road at that soccer stadium in Did I say San Diego? I am so sorry about that. Los Angeles Chargers. Excuse me for that. And yes, a lot of people are still saying that, including myself. But the Los Angeles Chargers, I'm going to go with them, the road team on this one. I think they go in here. Phillip Rivers is going to have something to prove. Obviously, he's been playing lights out here as of late. Got that team on a roll. The defense pretty good. The defensive front four, I think it's going to cause some havoc here on Alex Smith. You don't know what you're going to get. Alex Smith, you're going to get week in, week out. I think the Chargers go in here and pull it off and go out front in the AFC West tomorrow night. That game is before the Bears and Lions game. I'm not going to predict that, but that is the first one of three here. I got the Chargers on the road here late at Arrowhead and knocking the Chiefs off. The second game, everyone's talking about this game right here. And why? Because of the turn of Aaron Rodgers back from a broken collarbone. How in the world he's coming back? And he's still, from what the reports I have listened to, still not 100%, but is clear to play against the Carolina Panthers on Sunday afternoon, early afternoon. An intriguing matchup. Why? Because of the fact that, you know, the NFC South is crowded right now, and they're going to play each other out here pretty soon. And you have the fact that with Aaron Rodgers is back under center, anything is possible with him, especially when it comes to the playoff push that they're trying to get over now. Of course, Green Bay, they're going to have to take care of business on their end and have the dominoes effect if they're going to make to jump into the playoffs by the end of the last 3 weeks of the year. That's going to be tough. But that said, they're going to have to go out there and take care of business. You know, yes, it's one thing. You have the best quarterback probably in all of the league now back. And you got to face a rejuvenated Carolina team. Now, from what the news came out from today, obviously not good. We're not going to get into that, but definitely some distractions heading into an important week because Carolina, not safe really, you know, still has a date with the Falcons late at the end of the year, and you have to try to keep pace with the Saints. But even with that saying, you know, looking from a distance here, Aaron Rodgers back, having to go on the road, and this is a big game for Cam Newton's psyche, really. Cam Newton's going to be leading the Panthers here. They're going to have to contend with Aaron Rodgers. Man, as much as we want to go with Green Bay on this, I have to go. A lot of unknowns with Rodgers, you know, that waiting on that first hit. I got to go with the Panthers on this one. I mean, unfortunately, now part of me wants to see Green Bay go on the road and knock them off and give the Falcons a chance. Falcons don't play till Monday night against the Bucks, a critical NFC matchup for the Falcons, you know, going into a kind of a trap game with the Bucks. But on the other side of that, you know, the Panthers, you know, edging out the Vikings there. That was a crazy game last week there. But can Cam Newton go out here and win against now? You don't get Brett Hundley. You get Aaron Rodgers back. And Roger, I know he's excited to be back on that field after Brett Hundley doing a nice job. That could be the key factor in all this. Brett Hundley keeping the Packers in contention for a chance at even making the playoffs. So I don't like to go against the grain here, but I got to go with Carolina here again in another one of these wild games. I got Carolina in this one. And, of course, the big game of the weekend, it's got to go with the New England Patriots, Pittsburgh Steelers, and my. Everyone, you know, Pitt, they've been talking, led by Mike Tomlin. They've been talking big game here. They probably had this game circled from the top of the year this year. This is their opportunity for the Pittsburgh Steelers to get the top seed in the AFC and run the table. But they have had their issues with New England Patriots, whether it's in Foxborough or it's at their own place up there in Pittsburgh. And they're excited for this. There's no question around it. They are pumped up, ready for this game. with Tom Brady. Tom Brady in a bunch coming off a loss at Miami. How common is that here the last few years? Except for last year. But Brady coming off a loss and now going up against probably the biggest matchup of the year for these guys. Of course, Patriots, defending Super Bowl champions. And Steelers, a golden opportunity now. A loss up, or say a loss down from the Patriots. The Patriots lost three times here this year. Wow. Steelers have only lost twice this year and escaped last week against the Baltimore Ravens, which that was a high-scoring slugfest there. A thriller, which came down to another drive from Roethlisberger there to cap it with the field goal. That's been a common denominator. Every time I see the Steelers play, at least the last couple of weeks, seeing these games go down to the wire and kicking the field goal to win the game. You know, with these guys, Patriots, Steelers, always something brewing there. And how disappointing will this be if the Steelers can't get it done at home? Especially, this is a golden opportunity to seal up the AFC, really top seed, and have the Super Bowl, the road to the Super Bowl 52 go through Pittsburgh. Big opportunity, and this is a big opportunity. You back up talk with play on the field, and even though I'm not much of a big talker, you know, I would like to see a change at the top spot. Everyone wants to see a change at least, especially when it comes to the Patriots. You know, the way they have dominated football over the last decade or really decade and a half with Brady, Belichick, you know, Gronk, all these big names, and the way they have done it, especially, you know, the loss of Edelman, is still, you have the new addition of Cooks, the way he's played this year, you know, the way they battled, especially early on, the Patriots, but, you know, Pittsburgh, opportunity arises with them. You know, the talks about surrounding Antonio Brown's MVP of the league. You know, I have my own thoughts about that. But overall, the marquee matchup of the weekend, there are several marquee matchups going in this weekend. There are a lot of good football here this weekend. Looking forward to it, including Monday night as well, with Atlanta's chase to the playoffs. But gotta go with the home team, Pittsburgh, opportunity to seal the deal here. And not only that, but this could be the first of two matchups here against the Patriots. We'll see how everything plays out surrounding them. Of course, you have surging Jacksonville as well. I love Jacksonville as well. You know, being from Florida and rooting for Jacksonville as well. I should say being from Florida, but lived in Florida for almost 10 years, and that being my second team, the Jaguars, and they have come on here, especially knocking off Seattle last week. But for right now, going to go with the Steelers here. I think all this hype game, they have to go out there and they have to make it happen. All this talk, you know, I would normally go against a team that's not talking, but here, Steelers, they've been waiting for this moment. If they fail this, they might as well not go to Foxborough, because they looked terrible last year in the AFC Championship game. We all know how that went last year. The New England stomped them, pretty much. So, Patriots on the road, you know, they tend to play a little abnormal. And they have to get after Brady here, the front four. They got a good rookie in Watt, JJ's younger brother. I love him. So the Steelers, I have them to beat the Patriots here and set themselves up nicely here for the AFC playoffs. Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin and King. I think they will take care of business, and I don't think this, and I'll make an early prediction on this, I don't think this comes down to a late field goal late. I think they still going to win this game. They're going to have to take care of Brady and take care of him by at least another score, maybe like 10 points or something like that. This has the feel of a fourth down to the last possession, fourth quarter game. But for the Steelers to win at home, they're going to, especially the way they have won the last couple with the Packers and the Ravens last week, they can't let Brady and crew hang around that long. So I got Los Angeles Chargers, Carolina Panthers, and the Pittsburgh Steelers this weekend in cover 3 And we wrapped up today, tonight on the podcast here. We went over some of the big news, including Front Row Motorsports and Stuart Haas Racing lineups, all ready to go, wrapped up for next year. And of course, we don't know the crew chiefs for the Front Row Motorsports gang yet, but we know their driver situation. So good updates surrounding the Monster Energy Cup Series and going through another big weekend of football. Can't wait to see it unfold here this weekend. Ladies and gents, that's going to wrap it for the EG3 show this weekend. Or I should say tonight, right here on the EG3 Network. I am Eddie Greer III saying thank you for listening, tuning in to tonight's episode of the podcast. Remember, we might be back with another episode of the podcast here very shortly. We'll see about that here as we quickly wind down the year of 2017. Again, Front Row Motorsports sets their driver lineup. David Reagan, Michael McDowell, Stuart Haas Racing sets their driver lineup as well, along with their crew chiefs as well. Again, once again, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to the EG3 show this week. And again, we might be back with another podcast here very, very soon. So definitely, we'll be definitely back next week, but might have another recording of the podcast here very, very soon, actually. So, but for now, Eddie Greer III signing off for now. Thank you for listening to another episode of the EG3 Show podcast. And remember, good weekend of football coming up this weekend. Until then, we'll talk to you next time on EG3 Show podcast. We out. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, for those EG3ers out there, definitely tell your friends as well about the podcast as well, and spread the word. EG3 Show podcast, the off season rolls on. Until next time, we out.